everybody. It is another episode of Potions and Potpourri. Woo, 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 yeah. This is Keisha.
And this is Kayla.
And we are the gals who get together and talk about all kinds of D&D stuff, general D&D topics. Sometimes we try to get people in for interviews. Every now and then we do a potions episode where we just improv on the fly and we do another thing.
Live play.
Live play. Which we have another one in the works, actually. So
that's exciting.
Keep an eye out for that. But before we start that, we always have an icebreaker question. So Kayla has one today. And what is it?
Yeah, I'm interested to know if you are superstitious, Keisha.
Yep.
Are you?
I actually kind of
How
am.
Much, though? Like, are we talking like you have to wear a certain shirt on Mondays, like not going to step on the cracks on the sidewalk, or like...
No.
You just like have little rituals that you do around the house.
Yeah. Superstition-wise, it's more like, do ghosts exist? Or
right.
Like spirits? Or maybe like a leftover general aura, I guess is a word.
Well, do they?
I feel like there's a chance, maybe.
Sure.
I mean... Because there's a part of me that's like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, why are you thinking this, Keisha? You're stupid. This is, like, not scientifically, like, what?
And you're married to a scientist, so I'm sure that's hard.
Which is kind of fun. Because I always talk about, like, oh, the universe is being kind to me today.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this good thing happened. Or the universe is pissed. Like,
yeah.
Everything's going wrong. And he's like, the universe doesn't give a shit because it doesn't have feelings. And I'm like, but... Good.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like on the very low end of the spectrum of superstition.
It's nice to believe in something.
Yeah, you know, and I don't like to say I know everything. So I am the kind of person that I'm like, there is a possibility that maybe there's something funky going on.
Yeah.
I just don't know what it is.
If we prove it, then you're ready for it.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, I am a little bit. Are you?
Not at all.
Yeah.
I'm much more like your husband.
Yeah.
But I'm not smart enough to back it up. I just am cynical. He at least is like educated about it. No, I don't know. Like, I've never really believed in ghosts as an adult. It's just a thing I can't actually get my head around. I feel like there's always some kind of explanation
Sure. That
suits me way
it
better.
It's the wind. It's an old house.
Or even just like the mind is a very powerful tool.
It's very good
it
at tricking
do
yourself.
Do a lot of things
yeah.
with it.
That's very true.
But even just like, yeah, like the universe and everything, to me, you're just taking one belief and attributing it to something else.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it doesn't make sense to say I don't believe in a religion or a higher power or ghosts, but then I still believe in something, like, benevolent watching over me.
Aliens.
Right. I believe that aliens could exist.
I mean,
I just don't think that they're, like, close enough to give a fuck.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm sure. If they've been watching humanity,
yeah.
I mean, it's no wonder that they made no contact.
Right. Just let them do their thing.
Yeah, they're like, nope, move on. Earth is not worth it.
Yeah. But even, like the idea of luck and stuff.
Luck.
I'm not really sure that's something I believe in. We have friends that very strongly believe that they have luck. You
really?
Know? But I think, again, that you're taking something unseen and attributing to something because you can't explain it, that
yeah.
it's like, oh, well, a force must be guiding me. And that force, I feel like, would actually have a presence.
Right. Like
that you could actually, like, measure.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
We can't just have random things happening. Like, there has to be a rhyme or
right.
reason to it,
theoretically.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
So that's more of the camp that I lead into, I'd say.
Yeah, on the luck part... I'm not, it's funny because, like, for luck, I don't really believe in that, but karma.
Yeah.
I like to think that's real.
I know. It'd be nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, I say that I don't believe in that stuff, but I still often am like, oh, I shouldn't talk about that thing because what if it doesn't happen and I should wait until
yeah.
I know the answer,
yeah.
you know? And, like,
yeah.
I still do stuff like that, even though in my mind, I know it's not actually
doing anything.
Right.
Yeah, like you were saying, it's funny how the brain can just, like, it's so easy to convince itself.
Yeah.
So that's basically what it is. And we even pulled up, let's see here, about superstitions in general. How did they develop? Where did they derive from? And on theconversation.com, no idea what that is, psychologists who have investigated what role superstitions play have found that they derive from the assumption that a connection exists between co-occurring non-related events. For instance, the notion that charms promote good luck or protect you from bad luck.
Right.
And of course, WebMD, of which we all know is extremely reliable, they say how superstitions develop, it's from wanting more control or certainty in the driving force. It is the driving force behind most superstitions. We tend to look for some kind of a rule or an explanation for why things happen. Sometimes the creation of a false certainty is better than no certainty at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what much of the research suggests, says the person who wrote this that has a name I can't pronounce probably. Looks like Vice, I'm going to say.
Yeah, good old WebMD.
Yeah, they know what they're talking about.
I mean, those are like good, just generalized points.
Right, exactly.
You know, like obviously those weren't like cited scientific articles, but...
No.
But you know... People are religious. They mm-hmm. have faith, and it may not even be religious faith. People believe that energy is a constant state that's like always changing and that we're like directly connected to it all the time. And so like we can change
mm-hmm.
how somebody across the world is affected by putting out certain kind of energy, you know, like all sorts of stuff.
Isn't that the secret? The secret? Do you know about the secret?
No, obviously not. I guess I don't know about the secret.
I was like, am I crazy? Am I the only one? I'm pretty sure that there was a book and a movie. Probably the book came first. I think it's called The Secret. And it's basically that. It's something like, because we watched this in like middle school or something.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why. Maybe that was weird. But it's basically, if I, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's something like if you give out thoughts of like, I'm going to get promoted, you know, eventually it's going to happen
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. Cause you're like opening up that possibility. You're trying to lead yourself towards it by, I guess, just thinking about it,
yeah.
and, you know, and that like creates some sort of energy or something. And I mean, that's kind of a hard thing to disprove, so...
Yeah, well, I think... So that specific example would be more of, you know, you're thinking, I'm getting a promotion. So then you start subconsciously changing things right. about yourself.
Like you're automatically gonna...
That make it easier for you to get a promotion.
Right. And it's the same psychology of when people are like, you know, fake it till you make it. You know,
yeah.
if you keep telling yourself, like, you know what? I am awesome. I am great. Yeah. I am cool. You
right.
know?
Then you'll
like,
feel better about yourself.
Then you actually start to believe it. Again, the mind is fascinating the way it can change itself and its thought process. And I think that's kind of a part of some superstitions. But then there's also like, well, but every time this happens,
mm-hmm.
that occurs. How do you explain that? It's like, well, I can't.
Yep, exactly.
Maybe it does exist. I don't know. But that's not necessarily what we're here for, is not debating all that. We're going to eventually get this into superstitions in D&D in general.
Yeah.
You had some statistics and things?
Yeah, so we were just to kind of like open this up a little more, we were like just talking to some people on the internet about superstitions or rituals that they have before they play their games.
Yeah.
And some of them are really interesting.
I know. There's ones I'm like, I never would have even
considered that. Yeah, pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, that comes from just all walks of life, like mm-hmm. why people have superstitions and right. how they're attributed to this stuff.
Why it even started or...
But yeah, you know. Since we were debating the, like, fact versus, like, reason mm-hmm. topic, I, like, briefly looked up some stats on when you're rolling a 20. You have a 5% chance to roll any number on your dice.
5%.
Yeah.
All equally.
So, I mean, that's pretty low. It's a pretty low chance of getting a 1. But then... You know, I didn't do this math, but each time you roll that dice, that percentage changes because you've already rolled a 2. So now you have a less percent chance. You have like a 2% chance of rolling that 2 again.
Right.
You know, so then those other percentages go up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of just like a numbers game, which I've never known or cared about. But I'm sure some people can follow that pretty closely.
We're not really numbers people.
But you have a 55% chance to roll a 10 or higher. So you have an above average chance of getting an above average number.
Right. It's most often going to be in your favor.
Right.
Presumably.
So it's interesting to see, like, you know, why people believe what they believe and just, like, how some of their rituals and superstitions have formed and how it affects their games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely for me, the few that I have, superstition-wise in regards to D&D are definitely derived from very specific events that just kind of, like, cemented themselves in my mind.
Yeah.
And then ever since then, I think it's another thing where I only notice it when it happens. You know, all the other times it doesn't, I kind of ignore it. But when it does, I'm like, oh my god, it happened again.
I, like, can't believe it.
This is not just a coincidence, it's the universe.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And it's another thing where you're kind of looking for it, maybe even subconsciously, you know?
That's a confirmation bias.
Right, yeah. There's the thing that you were talking about earlier. Yeah, so for me specifically, since I'm the superstitious one of the two here, some of the ones that I have, one of them is I don't use other people's dice.
Ever.
Pretty much ever, if I can help it.
Really?
Because for some reason, I think that they just won't roll as well as my dice.
Sure.
I don't really have backing for that.
No. I mean, this isn't, we don't need to debate if it's scientifically feasible or not.
Oh, no, yeah. It's just the thing that I
do. You believe if you roll somebody else's dice, they're going to fail you.
Yeah, they're going to more than likely.
Or you're going to curse them for that person or whatever.
Right. So I try to stick with mine. And going into my other one, so the first dice that I bought two because I couldn't decide between the two colors. So I have a very sparkly pink one and a sparkly black one. And they're just so pretty, and I just needed both of them. So I got both of them. And ever since then, like, I have used them both as a player and as a DM.
Mm-hmm.
I have decided that these dice prefer to be used when I'm a DM, because that somehow is when I roll the most natural 20s.
Yep.
But when I'm a player and I use those dice,
you roll more ones.
I roll more ones.
Yeah.
And I mostly got that from, so I started out in D&D as a player,
mm-hmm.
and got this dice, usually rolled pretty bad. And eventually we did a thing where I got to DM a side quest for my character.
Mm-hmm.
So I would play, I would both be the DM and then every now and then also be my character.
Right.
You know, so when we were doing battle, I'd switch between the two. So whenever, I swear, when I was the DM, I would roll super well. I was attacking super well. I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to kill some people tonight. I was super excited about that. But then as soon as I rolled as me, the player, it would go badly. And then what cemented this is when I was as a DM, as the evil guys attacking my character, I rolled a natural 20.
On yourself.
On myself. Knocking my character unconscious.
Shit.
So then when it came around to me being my character, I was making my death saving throws. I rolled nat ones two times in a row.
Ouch.
And died.
Yep.
I killed myself.
So you're like, I'm never using those dice again.
I was like, wow. The dice have spoken. Be a DM, not a player, at least with them.
And they're still behaving well.
Right. So basically, I call them my DM twins because I have to have them together. I can't have them individually. They get angry. More superstitions.
Do they have to be rolled a certain amount of times in the same game?
Not necessarily. Okay. As long as I am being the DM when I use them, they're relatively happy. But when I'm a player, I use other dice of mine.
Funny.
So yeah, those are my superstitions.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Well, it's just funny because, like, the argument here is that they're not sentient.
No, they're not.
They don't have feelings.
They don't.
But we still can't help it.
I know.
We feel bad.
You project onto them.
Yeah.
I mean,
when I was a kid, I had a ton of stuffed animals, and I had this weird thing where I had to have all of them on my bed with me at night, or one of them would get mad and, like, curse me or, like, kill me or something evil.
Chucky situation.
So, like, sometimes I'd wake up and one of them would be on the ground and I would, like, cry.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And they all, like, I had to, like, rearrange them, like, every few nights. That way some of them got put to the back and some of them got brought to the front. It was a chore.
You gotta rotate them. Wow. I hope you didn't have too many because that sounds like...
I had a few.
A lot.
Quite a few.
Were any of them Beanie Babies?
Oh, yeah. So many.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, so I haven't always been this cynical.
I mean, yeah, for kids, I feel like most of them are probably like that. They have their weird...
And again, I don't, like, actually believe in luck or the superstition stuff. Like, I could roll your dice and be fine with it and have literally no qualms.
It's just
dice. Even if they rolled poorly, I'd be like, oh, well, But I do, and have, like, used the dice jails mm-hmm. when my dice are being cut. Or I've, like, chucked a dice across the room because it kept rolling ones on me.
I've witnessed both of these things many times.
I've gotten, like, I have, like, four sets of dice. They're not all complete, which is another thing. But, I'll just, like, at random choose which one I want to use. But I'm like, oh, I rolled the blue one, like, the last two times. It didn't do very good, so I'll try this color. So I do stuff like that, but I don't take it seriously, I guess, to the point of, like, oh my god, I can't ever roll this blue dice again. It failed me. You know? I'm like, well, I own this dice. I should use it. I'm very, like, utilitarian in that approach. Like, all right, I've got four sets of dice, and I spent money on them, so I might as well roll them.
That's funny. I have two that I specially ordered that are, like, gemstone dice.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if they're technically gemstone. One is opalite and one is pink quartz.
Yeah, just they're so pretty.
I love those colors. But A, I don't use them because I broke them. So I have not very many left. So, But then also, they always rolled bad for me. So now they're just going to be more decorative than actually used.
So that's something I wanted to talk about, is what I think people don't often take into account, or some people take into account too hard, is the material of the dice.
Yeah.
Because, like, plastic will wear down pretty quickly. So if you've been rolling that same set for a couple years, you know, I don't know how it changes, but the edges aren't as sharp, so they're going to be rolling a lot more.
Oh, I guess that's true. I was going to say, these ones are actually pretty
like soft. Rounded. Yeah. Whereas like a gem or a metal or something harder material is going to have those really hard edges.
Right.
And you can buy dice that are unfinished. Mm-hmm. So they're not like sanded down. So they're not all even. So that could go like any direction, either like because of the shape of the dice, you're never rolling a number or you're always rolling a number, you know, or just the way that they were made or like how soft the edges are. So that's a whole thing too that I wonder how much people take into account.
Because when you go dice shopping, a lot of them say, like, ooh, like, soft-edged or sharp-edged, mm-hmm. you know? And I was like, what's the difference?
Well, I assume a sharp-edge would just be a solid, like, a solid plant of the number. Like, it's not going to, like,
lands.
12, 8, 2, 3, 28, you know? Yeah. It's just going to, like, land and be done.
Wow.
So I think that would change it statistically, but who knows?
That's interesting, yeah.
That's a whole world of math I don't care about.
Yeah, that's a whole lot of
And we're not stuff. Here to talk about math. We're here to talk about superstitions.
Exactly.
The things that go bump in the night.
Yes.
So do you think that you have some kind of luck, or just that you have, like, something watching your back that can influence how things go?
I think it's neither of those for me. It's more of a, do I have a good relationship with my dice?
Are you guys healthy?
Yes. Am I taking care of them? Am I listening to their needs?
Are they getting enough sunlight?
You know, the usual stuff that's not for crazy people.
Would you ever let somebody else roll your DM dice?
Oh. I mean, that's kind of why I have, like, five other sets.
So you can borrow them. So when other
people are like, Keisha, do you have some dice? I'll be like, sure. Scooch away my special ones, my twins, and hand them my bag of literally anything else. I mean, if somebody else rolled them, I would be fine with it. But if they rolled, like, really, really high with those ones, I'd probably get mad at my dice, which is so stupid. I know how stupid that sounds saying it, but that's how I would probably
be. I don't know. This whole like conversation is kind of part of the culture of D&D.
Yeah.
You know, like, we have all these fun and sometimes silly, like, rituals and habits around our, like, inanimate objects that we use to play this game.
Right.
And it enhances the experience for us in some way.
Right. And we create entire personas. Right. And we pretend to be them.
And we don't name our dice, but it is something else that happens.
I bet there are people that do name their dice.
Each one.
What do you name your dice if you do? I'm very curious. I haven't named my dice. They're literally just the twins. That's what they are.
Well, that's more than I've ever named, like, dice.
Dice.
Your blue dice. Your orange dice.
That's what they are. That is their name. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird to describe the relationship people have with their dice. It's weird that people create a relationship with dice, right. You know? But it's like with a lot of other things,
like with
too.
Your car. Like, if you talk nice to your car,
yeah,
your
people name their cars, you know,
it'll like
gender
not,
them.
Right. It won't act up to you. My car's name is Severus.
Yes,
so.
That's right. Mine is Gigi Precious.
Oh my god, I didn't know that. It's the gold one?
Yeah. That makes because sense. She's a pop star, so yeah. She's got to have a pop star name.
It makes sense.
Gigi Precious.
She's very flashy.
He's very flashy.
So some of the superstitions that we have heard people talk about, I wanted to start with kind of the more, like, I guess, obvious ones.
Yeah.
That seem to be just, like, what people would do maybe without thinking about it, or just kind of, like, a general superstition for a lot of other games. One of them is rolling vigorously, like a lot of rolling, or
shake out the bad,
and or doing it with intent. So yes. Like you can't think no ones, because then you'll get a one.
Yeah.
Or you're just like, yeah, like this is gonna be the best roll I've ever done, you know, and then you throw them on the table and it's gonna be a good result that way.
Right. Yeah, I think that is a pretty common one that people, like you said, unintentionally
do.
Yeah,
I mean, that's at the casino, you know, you see that everywhere.
Yeah.
Another one is rolling with a specific hand every time.
Which I never thought about.
I'm sure I always roll with my left hand, but that's just because it's comfortable.
I think I actually roll with my right hand, even though I'm left-handed.
You monster. Maybe that's why they like you so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Fun fact, we're both left-handed.
Yeah, we're both left-handed.
Oh, what was another one that a lot of people do?
Well, one... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say a couple things that I know some people do is, like, they'll either, when they have the dice on the table, like, they'll keep the 20 up just to try to help promote, like, roll well.
I saw that, too. 20s, or, like...
Or they'll keep up the 1 and be like, don't roll that.
Yeah.
This is bad. This is the 1. Get it out of there.
I've seen a similar thing where it's, like, if you put... They always put their dice face up on the 20 before they start playing and let it sit there to, like, let it, quote, settle.
Yes.
So that way, like, all the, quote, weight is at the bottom of the dice.
What? Okay. I haven't heard that.
So that way it remembers to roll a 20 next time.
Okay.
And people swear by it, you know?
I mean, yeah, there are some things that people are like, it works for me, which,
yeah,
you know what?
Right.
It very may well.
And another one is... Either people are very for or very against pre-rolling your dice.
Oh my god,
like
I've seen
rolling it a bunch before you start, and so people are like, never do that.
Yep.
And other people are like, you always do that, because
yep,
then you get your ones out of the way.
Yeah.
I think there is a little bit of value in that, because statistically speaking, if you roll a couple of ones in that, quote, pre-roll, mm-hmm, then you're less likely to roll them later.
That's true.
So.
I mean, it's kind of funny you say that, because, so we just did a session with our group last night,
mm-hmm,
and while we were kind of chatting, you know, kind of getting prepared for everything, I was just, like, mindlessly rolling the twins over and over and over again. And another thing that they do is they usually roll the same number. Okay, not usually. More often than you would think, they roll the same number if you, like, roll them together. They're,
yeah,
both, like, 8-8, 10-10,
right,
or something. It's weird. But I rolled a lot of ones and 20s.
Ooh.
But then when we played, I didn't roll a single 1 or 20.
Yeah.
So.
Because you'd rolled them all.
I rolled them all out.
Yeah.
So it was pretty, like, in between.
It's interesting.
It is.
So yeah, those are kind of just some of the, like, I guess, basic cross the board superstitions that I think some people,
yeah,
a lot of people attribute, or maybe just do it without thinking of.
So what are you guys? Do you roll them a lot before you play, or do you not? Is that going to waste your 20s? Or is it saving them?
Right.
What side are you on?
So some of the more, like, I guess, outlandish ones that,
yeah,
I saw, maybe not quite that outlandish yet, but we'll get there. But one of them was that you never use an incomplete set of dice.
Yeah.
So if you throw your D20 in anger across the room and you never see it again, you never roll the rest of your dice again.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, wow.
You broke up the set.
Bummer. All of my dice are in complete sets.
I was
I'm doing
say,
just fine.
Like, I somehow lose at least one of them from all of them. So I have to, I can't not. Like, one of
I think that's kind of fun, though.
Yeah. Yeah, no. That kind
of
makes sense.
But then what do you do with the rest of your dice?
Oh.
They just sit in your bag and go click clack.
Click clack.
Or you put it, I guess you could decorate with them.
I was going to say, just use them for decoration. Retire them. You know, they are pretty. You know, put them on a plaque. They have done well.
Yeah.
We'll always remember you.
Here lies the fallen sets.
Yeah. You have to, for some people, they'd have to retire their character.
Right.
Because there are those who assign a set to a character, and that's all they use mm-hmm. for that character. No other sets.
Yeah. Can you imagine, like, how do you play one shots?
Oh, God. So many dice. Do you play one shots? They have a ton of dice, so they could
endless
one shots and always have a new set.
Other people talked about how they never roll with rainbow colored dice. So dice that aren't the same color scheme.
Oh.
Like, ever. So, like, even if you have a complete set and they're from different sets originally, like, that wouldn't count. Or, like, you buy a set that's, like, a green 20 and a blue 6 and a yellow 4, they wouldn't play with it.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I almost want to kind of make a set of all of them being from different sets.
I know.
That'd actually be kind of
fun. As long as I've got, like, 6 of most of the lower number dice and, like, a couple of 20s, I'm set.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, what about, like, some rituals, maybe, that aren't necessarily just superstition, just something that people do in all their games or that we do.
I know that I would always like have a whole drink before I'd start, but that was more from nerds.
Yeah. That's funny.
Ritual. But there are some people that actually do that. They actually have like a drink
mm-hmm.
before they play, or they have to have a certain kind of drink when they play.
Yeah.
You know, for some reason, it just has to be like, that's the drink.
Yeah.
Which, in all honesty, for us, it's mostly kind of either PBR or Montucky, I've noticed.
In our group, yeah.
In our group. I mean, we always have like the random ones. Sometimes we have like wine or something, but for the most part, those are like the go-tos.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a ritual, though.
No, like, that's not a ritual have to do it. Us.
But yes, I have seen like other groups and stuff talk about, oh, they always shotgun a beer before they play.
Right.
And they like see who can do it the fastest.
They like cheers or
something. Yeah, or they like, they start the session with something, like a little like, all in with your hands or something fun like that, you know?
Aw.
Yeah, it's cute.
It is pretty cute.
But what are some of the more like ridiculous superstitions that we had read about that people commented on?
Well, I don't know if I would label it necessarily ridiculous.
Sure.
Definitely.
I just mean more outlandish.
Yeah, definitely.
Like a little more out of the norm.
Heard of. There are some people who will sleep with their dice under their pillow.
Mm-hmm. That's like tarot or like crystals or something. You're like imbuing your stuff with energy.
Your stuff.
I couldn't think of a better word.
It's hard. Yeah, it's definitely, that's actually a good point. Some people kind of treat their dice as if they are like these crystals that some people use, you know, because like there's different ones that represent like harmony or energy or life or something, you know. So that's kind of like the similar thinking with the way
And I mean, again, that's just attributed to, like, a religion or a
spirituality.
Or just, like, even a socioeconomic background that you grew up in. And there's definitely nothing wrong with that.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's just, it's fascinating.
And that, again, that makes sense to people. It's like, yeah, I always sleep with my dice under my pillow. Otherwise, they won't roll for me.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
If it works for you, that's great.
Exactly. One that I saw was that somebody said they make a playlist for their character, and before they play that character, they have to listen to that playlist.
That's so crazy.
And I had, like, responded. I was like, wow, that's really interesting. Like, what a cool concept.
Yeah,
and I was
like, a cool idea.
Well, how long are the playlists? And they were like, sometimes, like, 8 hours. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, so you have to listen to it all day before you play?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it's a good playlist.
Seriously. I mean, I know, like,
gets you in the mood.
I like listening to certain kinds of music, like, beforehand to kind of, like, get me jazzed up, you know, ready for that moment. So I can definitely see that. Music is great in getting you in the right mindset that you need.
Well, and I actually like the idea in general of people making playlists for their characters.
That is really cool.
Because it's like, what would this person actually like to listen to in music, you know?
It's a great way to know your character.
Exactly.
And, like, kind of understand that personality even more.
So then if you listen 8 hours a song, you're like, oh, I know exactly who this person is.
Yeah.
This is what they listen to all day.
Bieber. Yeah. Man, what were some other ones? I know that there are some people where, like, the day of, like, no one can touch the dice at all. Like, it'll disrupt the juju or whatever you really want to call it. You know, it's going to throw it off balance. Like, they have to be ready. Yep. It's kind of like when people are getting ready for a game. You know, you got to get in the zone. Yep. You know, you can't, like, break that zone.
That's right.
So, that's true. About that. Yeah. That's pretty interesting.
Well, and you said that you don't really talk about D&D before you play, like, the day of.
Yeah, I did bring that up because I never really notice that I do that. It's more when, like, we get together for the, like, 10 to sometimes 30 minutes before we play.
Oh.
And we're all just, like, bullshitting. We're just talking about our day or whatever.
Uh-huh.
We don't usually talk about D&D stuff. So that might be a thing. Where
interesting. You just don't talk about it.
You just don't talk about it. You don't talk about Fight Club. You don't talk about D&D.
Club.
Yeah, that's just something that I noticed because I'm like, oh, no, like, I want D&D, like, I want it to be its thing. Like, when we talk about other stuff, like, let's talk about our lives. That's great. But when it's D&D time, I want it to be D&D time. You know?
Totally.
Get everything out of the way and then focus. Something a little different. There's so many different things that people do in regards to, a lot of it is with dice for the most part. I haven't really seen much. Anything outside of it, superstition-wise, of, like, characters, or if they do something before a battle starts, you know, or anything like that. I haven't read anything. I thought there would be a lot more about, like, people dressing up as their character or something, you know?
Well, I bet there is quite a bit. It just didn't come up in that conversation we're having about wearing something lucky. You know, like, maybe you always have a DM shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, you wear your lucky dragon ring
to
give you good fortune or something, you know?
Oh, another one that I just remembered, someone will have, like, a little plushie.
Oh, cute.
That's, like, specifically, like, when they DM, and they'll just make sure that they have their little companion.
Yeah.
That's pretty
cute. It's their good luck charm.
Yeah.
I think that's cute.
I think that's super cute. And, again, it's always interesting to think, like, a lot of these responses or these stories that we hear, I'm just like, I want to know the story of, like, how that started.
I know,
when did that start, and, like, what happened behind that?
Another pretty common one that I had read is how you never buy your own first set of dice. It has to be gifted to you.
Yeah, like a tarot deck.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That is interesting. Another thing that people, like, put a lot of energy and thought into, even though it's just this inanimate object, you know, and yet...
Yeah.
There's still that, like, respect of it. There's
I think those are kind of in the same realm sometimes for people, you know?
Yeah.
Like, tarot and astrology and crystals, and I'm not trying to discount any of that. I'm just saying, like, it feels the same for a lot of people the way that the dice do.
Yeah, there's definitely some similarities, for sure. There's definitely people out there that are pretty harsh with their dice, so I know you brought up, like, the jail.
Yeah.
You know, if they roll bad... You know, however many times in a row, you're like, all right, put them in the corner.
Yeah.
But there are some people where they're like, no, if they, like, roll under, like, a 10, they're out. You know, they're done.
I saw somebody say, I don't know how much of a joke it was. Maybe none. But they said that when their die misbehave a certain amount of times, they just melt them down and make new die out of them. I was like, oh my God, that's brutal.
I will recreate you.
Oh, God.
But it's the same one, though, right?
Yeah, like, I guess. Well, I think they just melt down a couple mix them together.
I don't even have the ability to do that. Or, like, how do you go about that?
Another person said that they don't ever allow their DM to touch their dice, which is interesting.
Yeah. There's someone that I have just stumbled upon where they bought 50 D20s to pre-roll all the ones out. Took a whole afternoon and didn't pay off at all. Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. That is so interesting. Man.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I'm sure there's, like, some really interesting ones that we'd love to hear about, too.
Yeah, definitely. Like, are any of these things that we listed something that you guys do? Let us know. If there's something that we haven't even listed that you do, we would love to hear that, too. Especially, like, the story behind it, if you're willing to share.
Yeah. I haven't had to put anything in dice jail in a while, but...
That's true.
I probably should have especially last night.
That's true. It did not roll well, which was so silly because some of us, so we played on Roll 20 and it's been a bit. Some of us rolled our actual dice anyway, and some used the online, you know, Roll 20 algorithm.
Which is often shitty.
I know. I swear that thing is broken. It has to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, interestingly, yeah, you did pretty bad, even though you rolled your own dice. But it turned out pretty funny, though. So
what I should have done for this episode, the research I should have done, is try to find, since in my notes I was often keeping track of how many nats and crits that we had rolled in a game, mm-hmm. and some of them were like 10 or more of each, you know?
Yeah.
I should have tried to find the games that we played that had the highest
rolls. That would have been interesting and just kind of like...
Yeah, like what the fuck happened? Often we would have games where we'd have like 3 nat 20s in a row and then 3 crit fails in a row, mm-hmm. and it just really like screw us.
Yep. Or there's some games where it's like, wow, we've had like 6 crit fails and not a single nat 20.
Yep.
What the fuck?
I know, how is this possible?
What's happening? Why does the universe hate us today?
I touched the wrong set of dice this morning.
I guess, yeah. The black cat crossed your path and you stepped on all the cracks. And
right.
Jupiter and Venus aren't aligned. I don't know.
Broken mirror.
Broken mirror. All those fun things. Well, yeah, I think that kind of mostly wraps up our superstition segment. It was just kind of a fun one to kind of talk about and read what people do or don't do. And
are you a believer?
Ooh. Are you a non-believer? So, yeah, that's basically it for superstitions. Again, hit us up if you have any comments about this one, any thoughts or ideas
or suggestions. If you want to argue with me about... my science being wrong. Let's do that.
Or are you on my side? These things happen for reasons unknown to us.
The unexplained.
You can reach us at...
Instagram is the best way. Potions and Potpourri on Insta. We have a lot of neat content on there. Memes and original art and our faces and notes and stuff from our games.
We're pretty active on that one, for sure.
You can email us at potionsandpotpourri@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook if you'd like.
All right. Well, this has been another episode of Potions and Potpourri. Thanks for stopping by. This is Keisha.
And I'm Kayla.
And we'll see you guys later.
We should have like a closing segment so it's not bad luck every time.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, we've been ruining it. Is that why no one listens?
Oh, we have to make our own luck.
That's true. It's better that way. All right, anyways.
Oh, I thought you already stopped.
Bye. Oh, bye. Sorry. I don't know.